We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So let's party. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, at your service for the next 4 hours. How's everybody doing? Hopefully you made it safely to work. We had a torturous commute, really collectively, all four of us here today. Hey, Wendy Adams has spilled over from the morning show to the midday show. What's up, Wendy?
Such a blessing.
Wendy, did you see Mark Owens making his way here? But I'm telling you, it's torturous out there. Did you see the picture of Shakti that I put out on Twitter on Sunday?
Oh, I have not seen this picture.
You did
picture
not see
yet.
The picture?
No, not yet.
I checked the likes and you were not one of them. I'm like, Wendy didn't see this picture.
I obviously didn't because I would have liked it.
It literally, I think, is the dreamiest, cutest picture of all time. Go to my personal Twitter account. You will see my little 5-pound pug. So we have Wendy chilling with us here for a minute. John, what's up, dude?
How you guys doing?
Chilling, man.
Everything good?
Everything's good, man. So I'm rocking a very random jersey today.
You are.
I'm bored. I'm bored with pullovers and hoodies.
I'm tired of the cold weather.
And like, you know, like the polo sweater. I'm bored. I've been wearing that crap for several months, mm-hmm. and I'm ready to kind of move on. So I'm downstairs, and I'm like, I got a Cam jersey. I got Keyshawn. I got T.O.
You have a Cam Newton jersey?
Yeah.
But don't ever wear that one,
yeah.
Please.
I might wear it just to rankle John. But I'm rocking a Marshall Faulk jersey today. I thought I'd shout out one of the beasts of all time. Tomorrow I'll be wearing my Tack McKinley jersey as we are at the auto show at Georgia World Congress.
Who was it that compared a running back currently in the league to Marshall Faulk and we thought it was completely idiotic? Because you wore that jersey like August of last year. We were at Mercedes-Benz Stadium getting ready for either the regular season opener or a different opener.
Oh, you're blowing my
Somebody
mind.
From Green
Preacher
Bay.
Man, help
Who
me.
Was it from Green Bay that they compared? Because it was a Green Bay running back. They said he's got a lot of Marshall Faulk in.
Montgomery.
That's what it was.
Who was the guy that made that comparison, though?
I don't remember, but it was the opening game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We did a show on Friday, and you wore the Marshall Faulk jersey. And, of course, Terry Fox goes, Marshall Faulk? Falcons opener? What are you doing here?
Anyway, so I come in here to the Kia Studios, and I haven't said hi to Hugh yet. We just haven't seen each other yet today. He looks at me, shoots me a look, and he sees my jersey, and he just goes, beast.
Yeah.
Hugh knows what's up. So John's got a Falcon shirt on today. Preacher Man's got a Smash hat on with the little mesh back.
And Wendy's freezing cold with a hoodie on, which we found out now the mornings are not friendly to you, are they?
They're not. It is freezing in here all the time. It is so much warmer on this side of the glass than it is in y'all's.
Well, that's
y'all's
because
area.
Bo is spewing hot air over there all the time. That's why it's so warm in that area.
Very true.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that, wasn't it? You just went ahead and threw it right under the bus.
So we don't get a chance to dive in and talk to Wendy because, you know, it's the end of the show. You're ready to run out of here. How's mornings going for you? Let's keep it real. How's everything going for you?
Mornings are great. I hate the alarm clock, but I love the hours. I'm at home by 10. I can take a nap until noon, then I can work out, and I have the rest of the day.
It's a beautiful thing. I'm trying to get inside like John and Hugh and Bo.
You're trying to stir up trouble is what you're trying to do.
I sure am. It's 10:04 and people are stuck in traffic. They want to know.
Everything is great. And even if it wasn't, I would never say anything else.
Preacher Man, that does not sound like all the truth coming out back there, does it?
Doesn't sound like our show.
No.
we spill all the beans on our show. There's no hidden agendas here,
okay.
Even if there are.
So where the hell's Owens, Preacher Man?
Well, Owens is stuck in traffic parallel to a
possum. Which is outrunning him.
Last time I checked, and apparently the possum is going faster than he is.
The turtle is beating him right now?
He literally put a tweet out and had a red circle around a possum. It said, this possum is going down the connector faster than I am.
Awesome.
By the way, I did not get the stinger. I ended up not getting the stinger.
Too pricey?
Yeah, the price was a little high, and you know, even with the great folks at Carriage doing everything they could, it was just financially right now not the smartest move. It was a little disappointing. I love my Optima. My Optima's great, but after driving the Stinger that has 180 on the dash, and then driving my Optima that does not go 180, it just didn't feel the same. The Stinger, I just...
Preacher Man, no stingage?
Hey, I'm proud
we're
of him.
Get some stingage over
I'm
here.
I'm proud of him. He actually was smart. He was fiscally responsible. He didn't want to be the slave to a car.
You know, was he fiscally responsible or was Urania?
No,
no, I'm giving it to John.
No, because okay. She told me do whatever I feel like doing, and I just didn't want to do that. Single John would have moved out of my apartment and moved into a cheaper apartment.
No, single John would have lived in the car.
Well, there's that. Nah, there wasn't enough room to sleep
in.
You
got the free pass and you didn't take it?
Yeah,
it was. You take the opportunity. She said, do what you want.
No, the price made me look and go, yeah, I just can't do this. I don't make Kamla money.
Well, you got those extra mouths to feed. It's kind of hard.
Hey, Wendy, I think this is John Fricke's phone right here.
Oh, is this Twitter?
Does that look like John's phone?
See if his Twitter's up there.
Is it password protected? If not, let's get
now,
it. Let's
hold on a second. I'm not touching it, okay? Because
you shouldn't.
Because as I came into the Kia Studios, John gave me the elbow dap. He gave me elbow dap. He didn't give me the fist pump or, like, shake my hand. He gave me the elbow dap, where you just stick the elbow out. And that's typically a sign of somebody who's sick and doesn't want to touch you. So I ain't touching his phone.
I really wish he would have told us that.
If one of you guys are brave, maybe we could grab his phone and we can mess with it.
I don't have any latex gloves with me. I'm not touching that. You know, I'm getting
a biohazard suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we've got an update from Mr. Glass Half Full, the president.
Okay.
Said he texted us and said, on Peachtree, almost there, kind of. I hate to tell you, Mark, and I know you're listening, Peachtree's horrible as well.
Well, speaking of that, we got a text from one Knox Bardeen, a.k.a. Mr. List. I said, 14th Street shut down. He used another word that I'm not going to say. He said he left home at 7:25, and he's still not here yet.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if Mark's in the car, just don't forget to bring your money, son. I know you're late. You can stop off at an ATM because that's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Well, we'll start with the Atlanta Braves' biggest news in the city yesterday, right after we went off the air. Ronald Acuna will start the season.
He's staying, right?
No, in Gwinnett. Yeah, he is staying in Gwinnett. He's actually going to crash in my basement for the next couple of weeks and drive down the street.
He could have helped you
for the
buy a stinger. He could have helped you buy that stinger.
Really? I could have bought it. I just chose not to. Sometimes you got to make smart decisions. 23-year-old John would not make 43-year-old. And 23-year-old John's looking at me going, okay, why'd you get so fat? And what the hell are you thinking being responsible?
This is the perfect analogy, John. You could have made the go-for-it move, the instant gratification move. I'm getting a stinger. But no, you retreated. You thought about it. You analyzed. And you realized the smarter decision for you and Urania going forward was to stay in the car that you're in. The Braves have done the exact same thing. They have not done the impatient instant gratification move of beginning the season with Ronald Acuna. They're going to delay it so that his days of service in Major League Baseball are to such a point where the Braves gain another year of team control. Look, John, I complain, we bicker, and we battle, and like I pick battles with other people and other stories and other developments. I'm not doing that this time. Mm-hmm. You got to pick and choose your battles, right? With your wife, with your boss, with people you work with whatever. I'm not picking this battle. It is what it is. He's down to the minors for 2 or 3 weeks. He's going to be up for the majority of the season, and that's it. And so I really think the point is eventually going to be moot, John, when a couple of years from now they go ahead and drop a Brinks truck on Ronald Acuna before, you know, these last years of service or whatever come up. But nevertheless, this is what teams do. The Cubs did it with Chris Friggin Bryant back in 2015. So, Braves fans, get out of your feelings. It's not that big of a deal.
Here's the thing, and maybe I'm taking the other side for once. I think the Braves owe it to the team or to the fans. You've crapped on this fan base for now a bunch of years. You have a media group that, let's be honest, you're a line on a ledger. Nobody really cares. They get a brand new beautiful stadium. They had talked for many years that 2017 was going to be the year you were going to be competitive, stay through the rebuild at the end of Turner Field, and then you crapped the bed again last year. I think they should have kept him up. If he's as good as he's going to be, you're going to sign a contract extension long before the end of that team control happens anyway. So, yeah, for 2 weeks, I get it. It's not that long. I know Grant McCauley's got a great article at 92.9 The Game explaining everything. But for once, I'm looking at from a fan base. If I'm a fan base, I want to see the hottest prospect we've had in a couple of decades playing opening day.
I like the passion shown by John Michaels about baseball. I'm glad you picked and choose that battle because I do agree with you. I'm tired. I'm limp on the whole thing. It is what it is. We'll see Acuna when we see him. Let's move on here and what's up. Trae Young of Oklahoma has declared for the NBA draft. Now, here's the thing. Trae Young's stock has fallen.
Yep.
But it's less on him and more on Colin Sexton and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. These guys have now entered the realm of top 10, entered the realm of top point guard in the draft. So it's very fascinating to me. And with those guys coming on, with Trae Young dipping a little bit, mm-hmm. I mean, Trae Young had a really nice NCAA tournament game. I don't know if y'all could see it, but he was really good in that game. But Trae Young now, John, whereas a month and a half, 2 months ago, he was top five for mm-hmm. sure. He's now in the 6 to 10 range, but safely in the top 10, safely in the lottery. It was a no-brainer for him to go pro.
Yeah, he absolutely has to go pro. It's interesting because in January, he was being argued to be the first pick of the draft. And now, again, as you mentioned, Porter's passed him. Doncic has stayed ahead of him. Obviously, Ayton's ahead of him. Bagley's ahead of him. He might not go before 5 or 6, maybe even lower than that. And that means somebody, hopefully not our Hawks, but that means somebody in the 5, 6, 7 range could end up getting a potential superstar.
All right, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put a poll on my personal Twitter account here eventually. To me, there are 3 top point guards coming out if they all declare it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it is Trae Young, and it's Colin Sexton. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather have on your NBA team?
Boy, with the way that the NBA is currently constructed, the way people shoot the three, I'm taking Trae Young. I know he had a lot of turnovers, and that was the big knock on him. Look at the bums he played with in Oklahoma. Watching that game against Rhode Island, he was diamond guys that would fumble it off their knee. He'd hit a guy for a kick-out three, and it wouldn't be there. He still averaged 8.5 assists, even with playing with that group. You get him on a team, I like the way he shoots the jumper. I think his game right now, and Colin Sexton's awesome, I think his game right now translates more immediately in the NBA.
Colin Sexton, to me, is giving me Westbrook vibes, and for that reason, he would be the very close pick over Trae Young right now. More on that coming up at 1 o'clock in an NBA fast break, but
let's give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
even, E-V-E-N. We are even right now with the morning show with contest.
That's incorrect.
Are we ahead now?
Three. Hey, they were talking about it this morning.
Of course they were. Again, this system is rigged for us not to win, even though we've won every year that I've been part of this show. But even right now to 72881, text even to 72881.
Give me that text one more time.
72881.
So one of my favorite Pearl Jam songs is Even Flow.
Okay.
You like that song?
I've never heard it.
It's a great song. It's a great song. Trying to do something with the word even. Here's the deal, John. Our Hawks right now are third in the lottery standings. Mm-hmm. They've been there for a minute. And I'm getting, some flashback deals going on here. And it has nothing
Please
to do
don't
with,
say Marvin Williams.
It has nothing to do with old dead shows that I went to see. The 1992 NBA draft featured Shaquille O'Neal,
Alonzo Mourning,
and then Christian Laettner.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-guy draft. Okay.
Although at the time you thought Laettner was going to be great.
Yeah, but when you looked at, even at the time, Shaq and Zoe and then Laettner, trust me, as a Timberwolves fan, we got stuck with Laettner.
Mm-hmm.
We did not get Shaq or Zoe. So here's how the rest of that draft went. Jimmy Jackson, LaPhonso Ellis, Tom Gugliotta, Walt Williams, Todd Day, Clarence Weatherspoon, and Adam Keefe at number 10 to our Hawks. My point is this.
Walt Williams went number 8.
Yeah. Are the Hawks going to be third in a two-man draft? In terms of transcendent players, Ayton, Bagley, and then we go third. Porter, Doncic, Bamba, Jack, right? To me, there is a delineation between the top 2 and 3 and beyond. So I'm just saying, wouldn't it be the most Atlanta thing ever for us to be 3 mm-hmm. in a 2-superstar draft? I hope that's not the case, but I'm getting waves and vibes of that.
He's one of the great play-by-play guys in all of sports. Ian Eagle will join us next, talking NCAA tournament on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, thank you, Wendy. A little even flow here by Pearl Jam, Rick Kamla, and John Michaels. And we're about to have Ian Eagle here on the WadeFor.com hotline. We're going to fire him up. John, he was on the call for Purdue, Butler, and Syracuse and Michigan State on Sunday. So excited to talk to Ian about the tournament.
Yeah, he's one of the greats there. And to talk about the tournament, I saw an interesting article that we're going to get into in the 11 o'clock hour. Should the NCAA reseed when they get to the Sweet 16? I think it's the stupidest idea ever, but it's an interesting read when you start looking at how teams would be reseeded. Unfortunately for the lower seed teams, it would give them no opportunity to make it to a championship game scenario. Because if you start thinking about, you know, potentially, and I just use Kansas State, they're the 9 seed that's sitting there, or Loyola Chicago at 11. Think about one of them right now who's already had to go through two higher seeds and then potentially would now have to play the number one seed that's left in the tournament in Villanova. It would be unfair. It's something that would never happen.
Who's bringing up the notion to
an ESPN deal?
An ESPN?
Just an article.
Guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not feeling that at all. I'm not feeling that even one bit. But I am feeling, dude, we got games here in Atlanta on Thursday and on Saturday, and I have a feeling it's going to be a big old Kentucky party, man. You've got all these teams, these upstart teams, and then you've got the Blue Bloods from Kentucky, and we've got one of the greatest play-by-play men ever on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ian Eagle covering the tournament, covers the NFL, the NBA as well. Ian, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. And so, Ian, I want to start by hitting you with this. Was that, in your opinion, the nuttiest opening weekend in NCAA tournament history?
I would say it qualifies as the nuttiest. When you get a 16 over a 1, and then you get some of these smaller schools emerging, creating some narratives, and changing the landscape in many ways. We know the Blue Bloods are going to be strong year in and year out, but I think now the margin is slimmer, and the fact that you get teams that have seniors, have experience, have chemistry, has changed the way you have to view this tournament. It's not just an automatic for chalk. And the region I'm calling coming up this weekend is the closest thing that we've got to chalk, and that's the East. Everywhere else is complete bedlam.
Ian, do you like that, the byproduct of having all these one-and-dones, giving these other schools opportunities to make it deep into the tournament?
I do. I think, to me, inclusion is what we're always gunning for in sports. I know there's a theory that we love to have the front-runner mentality and somebody that we love to hate and somebody that we want to gun for. But considering the way that this sport has evolved and the fact that you have some other things at play here with the NBA and decisions that are going to be made, I think if you run a solid program, if you know how to teach, if you know how to develop, and if you have an understanding of team chemistry and building that from within, you should be rewarded for that. And we're starting to see that. I think it's been building over the last few years, and this year we anticipated it, and it's come through. This is, to me, what this tournament should be all about.
Ian Eagle, a part of the great tournament coverage you find on CBS and TNT, TBS, True TV as well. As he said, he'll be at the East region. It's Friday and Sunday. West Virginia and Villanova, Texas Tech and Purdue will be the games you have on Friday. And I want to circle back to that in a bit, but let's go back to the games you called with Jim Spanarkle, my guy from NBA TV. I love Jim. Please say hi to him for me. But you had Purdue over Butler. You had Syracuse, your alma mater, over Michigan State. And Ian, very simply as a setup, I thought that Jim Boeheim coached Tom Izzo underneath the floor. What were your thoughts on those two games?
Well, first of all, it's just fun to say Spanarkle. Let's all acknowledge that. You just don't get a chance to say it all that often in life. So when you get a chance to say Spanarkle, you say Spanarkle. I think you're right. I think Boeheim had a very clear idea of how they could win this game. And that's what they executed. They don't play pretty basketball. They have good individual talent. It never quite meshed this year. They're not deep. And the sense is that they have to just muck it up to win. And that's what they've done in three games. They completely threw Arizona State off its game. Bobby Hurley was very frustrated throughout that game. A prolific scoring team out of the Pac-12, and they couldn't crack 60. Second game, TCU. Jamie Dixon has revitalized that program. Tremendous story that he's gone into his alma mater, and he's changed his approach. At Pitt, it was all about physicality, defensive-minded, and enough scoring to get through what was the Big East and then the ACC. He goes to TCU. He just doesn't have those kinds of players. They think offense. They go out. They score 83 points per game. They can't crack 60. Now you get Michigan State, deep team. Thick team, large athletes that you assume will just pound Syracuse on the glass. And they did. And they got second chance points. And they didn't make them consistently. The opportunities were there. They couldn't make shots. They seemed disheveled. They seemed disoriented. And this zone defense has done it again. It's incredible year after year that Boeheim has been able to do it with teams that you just don't anticipate can go on runs. It was completely out of nowhere 2 years ago. And here they are in the Sweet 16, the last team to get into the tournament with an at-large bid, and they're still standing.
Ian, I don't want to bury the biggest story of the opening weekend. A 16 finally beats a 1. Virginia loses to UMBC. Was that more of a one-night anomaly of everything felt perfectly for UMBC, or was Virginia just a flawed one seed to begin with?
You know, I had them earlier in the year against Duke, and they played a near-perfect game at Cameron to beat the Blue Devils, and I walked away from it enjoying their style of basketball, the fact that they made big plays, winning plays down the stretch in a tough environment. But I must say, I did walk away feeling as if they're still going to be vulnerable. Their style of play, there really is no plan B or plan C. If they're not making shots and teams have figured them out, then they couldn't rely on another style. They're not a team that's necessarily going to push it up the floor, get into their offense quickly. They're not a team that can generate points in other manners. So I did have some concern. Certainly didn't think, all right, well, they're going to fall to a 16 seed. But the DeAndre Hunter injury ended up being so far-reaching for them. He provided so much of that energy off the bench, athleticism. He's a difference-making athlete. He's an X factor. And he was different than their other players in that he could go above the rim and make those kind of plays and change the course of a game. So as I look back on it now, I do think it was this confluence that took place for a 16 to beat a 1. But when you really dig a little deeper, they were vulnerable. And unfortunately for them, they're going to have to live with the history of that for the rest of this tournament, when however long it goes on and in our lifetime.
Yeah, and Ian, I'm sure you saw the post-game interview. I think it was Tracy Wolfson interviewing Tony Bennett, and he just had this look like, I am never going to live this down. It's going to be at the golf course. I'm going to be with Roy Williams and Krzyzewski and Buzz Williams, and they are going to be grinding me to salt on the table over being a 1, losing to a 16. Now, Ian, I want to advance the story here to the East Region Friday. I think these are really killer games. You've got Javon Carter. You've got Kanate, the shot blocker of West Virginia, and the best team, I think, in the tournament, Nova. And then you've got a great point guard matchup, Keenan Evans of Texas Tech, Carson Edwards of Purdue. You've got two very good games coming up, Ian.
Yeah, very much so. I think just from a competitive standpoint, you've got some really interesting storylines. I had Villanova earlier this season. They play beautiful basketball. And it's funny, from a play-by-play man's perspective, there's a certain rhythm that you hit in the NBA because teams are making plays. They're converting. They're swinging the ball around, and a player's going to make a corner three. So even in your play-by-play presentation, you're building towards something. In college basketball, it's different because these guys obviously are not at the same level. You've got to be a little more cautious in how you present and how you move on in your play-by-play. With Villanova, I found that it was closest to an NBA kind of call, that you can build up the moment because these guys can finish. Jalen Brunson is a finisher. Mikal Bridges is a finisher. Phil Booth makes shots. Spellman, Pascal, these guys, DiVincenzo, they play a really pretty style of basketball. But let me tell you, in my preparation right now, which I've been doing this morning and a little bit yesterday of West Virginia, this is what Bob Huggins does. He's got 10 guys that he can roll in at any moment. He comes at you in waves. Of course, we're going to see the press Virginia. They're going to try to throw Villanova off their game. I think this is going to be really competitive, and he's got a physical team that actually can score. They can go out and score. Javon Carter is a tremendous lead guard. And then they've got pieces, including Kanate, who is a beast. He blocks shots with two hands. This is a different kind of mentality that I've seen just watching them on film. I'm really excited about seeing these two teams match up.
Hey, Ian, super quick. I want to get nutty here with you for a minute. You and Dan Fouts are my favorite NFL broadcast team. And Fouts has done a lot of play-by-play. I'm just curious, does he constantly harass you about switching seats and doing play-by-play on NFL games?
Never once. Ever. Never.
That shocks me, actually.
Yeah, he's locked in with his analysis. I think the play-by-play days are over with. But the fact that he has that insight, Rick, in all seriousness, makes him so good at his job because he's done both roles. He understands timing. He understands cadence. He understands what the job of the play-by-play man is. And there's a reason why you never hear us step over one another. There's just a healthy respect, and he respects the job, the role. And that says a lot about him. He was excellent in both roles. He's obviously one of the best analysts out there. He's one of the best human beings as well.
Ian, great stuff. Have some great calls this weekend. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
All right, guys. Anytime. Enjoy it. I think the madness is going to continue a little bit, so get yourself prepped up.
That we will do. Ian Eagle, our guest on the WadeFord.com hotline there. Really good stuff with him. One of the great play-by-play guys in all of sports. We're going to have some fun coming up next. I think Mark Owens, well, he's almost here. I think the possum actually just clocked in, and he's still walking around. We do the slice of life coming up next. What are some words that should be banned if you're over 40? You guys text in 404-741-0929. You can tweet us as well, at 92.9 The Game, at Rick and John 929. I've got a really, really long list of stuff you shouldn't say over 40. That's coming up next.
So what's your go-to drink?
Sounds like you guys fancy yourself drinkers, huh?
When was your last fist fight?
I'm going to kick your...
Who really wears the pants in the family?
Nah.
Rick and John prove adulting is tough.
It's worse than we thought.
The Slice of Life on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Slice of Life is brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget. With an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. Top of the hour, Bob Wenzel, former NCAA coach. We'll be talking tournament with him. And we welcome Mark Owens to the Kia Studios and his gig that he should have been here. Anyway, I'm not even trying to get on you, bro. You okay?
I don't see how people do this every day because my commute's typically about 45 minutes, 2.5 hours today. And I got to assume that everybody just left late because of the storms last night. Apparently 14th Street was shut down as well. It took me an hour to get from Moores Mill to the exit. Because I know people do this all the time. You see people who, like, I live in Buford. You know, I live up in Woodstock. I live way up north in Cumming or something. 2.5 hours? What happens if you got to pee? I'm very lucky that I peed before I left. What happens if you got to pee?
You got to look for a water bottle or something and pour the water bottle out and pee in the bottle. I've had to do
that
before. No,
you pull off on the side of the road and you walk in the bushes and pee.
I don't know about all that.
Why not?
I'm not trying to lose my place in line in traffic. Dude, I'll just pee in my car.
I'm not trying to pee in my car.
And I cursed every dive bomber out there. And there were hundreds of them.
I'm a dive bomber.
Yo, you used Rick's name in vain all the way to work.
And everyone, I was like, God damn you, Rick Kambla.
I'm one of those guys.
That's you.
I'm one of those guys, for sure.
And then no lying. Go follow me on Twitter. You can search my name, whatever. Opossum. I was racing opossum.
I
couldn't even get off on the 14th Street exit or the Atlantic Station exit. I had to go down to Georgia Tech. And there was a possum on the side of the road. And poor son of a gun was just trying to get off the highway, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was late for work. And we're edging up between each other. He'd jump in front of me. I'd get in front of him. And I'm like, oh, is this going to – okay, let's go. We'll put some on. Let's do this.
You literally were dueling with a possum.
I was so frustrated, I'm trash-talking a possum on the side of the connector.
What'd you say to him?
Oh, bring it on. You know what? You're going to get hit by a car later on anyway. So it doesn't
matter.
Oh, really? Too soon? Oh, really?
I'm calling PETA now.
No. Mark, I can't believe you.
Here's what he said to the possum. And the possum looked back and went...
And the MARTA police pulled up beside him. Son, get out of the car. Let's talk.
And then he started talking to him like Monica Seles. Oh,
All right. Let's get to this, man. John's got a long list. I have a long list. Mo, tell us why we're talking about a banned word or phrase list for men over 40.
Because we keep using the word clap back in jest. And I know we're kidding about it. But someone actually shot us a tweet and said, can we make a list of banned words for men over the age of 40?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good idea because you still hear it all the time. Even though you think amazeballs is only something 14-year-old girls use, you still hear grown-a men using that term all the time. So I think we need to narrow it down, maybe have, you know, 5 or 6 words that no man over the age of 40 should ever use. And we're not talking, you know, derogatory terms. And we're not going to get all, you know, well, no man should ever use the N-word. Well, yeah, we know that. I'm talking like, you know, pop culture phrases that teenagers use that you as a grown man should never use.
I got a whole bunch, but Rick, we'll let you sound off first and see how many we match with.
All right.
We'll find the matching ones and narrow them down.
Big shout out to Charity. I brought this slice of life to her attention last night. We were cocktailing a little bit and she helped me out with it. So John and Mark and Paul, you will love this. She says, these are her words that I took from her anyway.
Okay.
Okay, let's start with that's everything. Okay, and she gave me a replacement for it, like that's everything. Instead, it's that's really nice. Dope. She says, no, you can't say it anymore. You got to replace it with awesome. How lame is that? You can't say gangster anymore. You have to replace it with bold. Okay, like how boring is that? And she said,
I like that she gave you replacement
words. Yeah, she did.
Words.
And then she said, you can't say crunk anymore. You have to say, I'm excited. Okay, so that those were her replacements. Uh-huh. Now, let me hit these rapid fire. The banned word or phrase list for men over 40. Holy mackerel. Holy cow. The bee's knees.
Who says that?
Katie, bar the door. All that in a bag of chips.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah. I knew you'd like that one, John.
My mom still says that. I'm like, Mom, you're like 65. Please stop.
It's okay that she can say it, but we're 40-year-old men. We can't.
No, the worst part is she'll be like, all that and a bag of chips. She'll do the snap in between.
That's her thing, man.
She's old. You don't need to do that anymore.
All right, here are more on the word or phrase banned list for men over 40. As if. Can't say that. And again, Charity helped me out with these last night. How about we're going to bounce?
I actually think I still say that.
Over 40? You still say that?
I am over 40.
Should we ban that or should we allow that?
I don't know. I think bounce still works.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It's a universal known term to, let's get out of this bounce.
All right, so crib. Referring to your house as a crib. Mm-hmm. Is that still cool? Or do we need to ban that?
That is a Florida thing. We actually refer to South Florida as the crib. Uh-huh. Like people from Florida, I'll be like, man, I'm going to hit the crib this weekend.
Okay.
And they know what I'm talking about.
If you rent your house, you can say it's a crib. But if you're a grown man making a mortgage payment,
we call
it's your
our
house.
Region of the state the crib.
All right. Banned list word or phrases for men over 40. Fart knocker. Can't say that.
Wait, Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, you got to ban fart knocker.
Fart knocker.
That's fly.
Yeah, that. Come on, you can't say that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about not?
Yes.
Right? Yes.
It's banned, right? Okay. Uh-huh. How about psych?
Yes. Again, it's not 1988, okay, but I agree with you.
I got a few more here. Just a few more. Oh, snap?
Yeah. Nope, don't need to say that.
Is that banned? Okay, a couple more here. Fat, as in hot and tempting.
Yeah, fat. That's actually on my list. That's stupid as hell.
Take a chill pill?
Yep. Got to go.
Three more. Talk to the hand?
Yeah.
That's banned, right?
Over 40? If somebody ever tells me talk to the hand, I might hit him with my hand.
And then two more. Sick. That's sick. You can't really say that,
no.
Can you?
No.
And one last one here. Chillax. Chillax.
Yeah.
On the banned word or phrase list for men over 40.
We only have a few that match, but let me run through mine quick because I know we're already running out of time. You can no longer greet somebody and go, what's up?
Good one.
Cray cray. We were 11-year-old girl. Don't say cray cray. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh. Those shoes are fresh.
I agree.
Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Low key. This is one
I
hate.
What is bay? What is that?
Bay.
Before anything else.
It's an acronym for before anything else. But they'll be like,
oh,
I'm out with bay.
I don't even know what that is.
It's stupid. Low key. I'm low key upset.
Huh?
Shut up. You're just upset. You're too stupid to say something else. Turnt. Okay, if I hear one more person over 40 go, man, I'm getting turnt this weekend.
Turntabilist.
Turntabilist is different. Just turnt. You can never refer to your girlfriend or wife as preggers. She's pregnant.
Okay, I like it.
I hate TBH. That's the stupidest acronym ever. Just say, first of all, if you're going to say something and you're being honest, just say what you're going to say. We don't need it prefaced by TBH. Extra. You're acting extra, Rick.
I'm okay with extra.
Nah, extra. I don't like extra. Salty. I don't like salty either.
I'm okay with salty, too.
Like, I think salty's okay.
I think salty works for men over 40.
Okay. Crunk is another one I had.
Okay, so
I also have fat.
Uh-huh. P-H-A-T, right?
Yes, and you can't say lit or litty.
Okay.
Or any. Yeah, no slang with lit.
That's horrible.
It's stupid.
Great list.
Mark Owens.
All right, real quick. Amazeballs. No man should be saying, dude, that shot was amazeballs.
I don't think no human should be saying amazeballs.
Nothing should be on fleek ever.
Ever.
Ever. You should never make a reference to a 90s movie because you just sound old. If you're trying to still do your Austin Powers, yeah, baby, or your Borat, it's nice. Stop.
Or I'm feeling Randy.
And unless you're talking to your child who is under the age of 5, no man should look at another man and go, yeah, man, let's go get some dinner, maybe grab some Sketty.
Sketty?
Good one.
I do think Holy Cow, though. I'm okay with Holy Cow because sometimes you don't want to cuss. So instead of you're watching a game or something, holy cow, that was amazing.
First of all, if you're around me when I watch a game, cuss words will be flying. Just happens.
All right, so we got crunk, fat with a PH, lit AF, clap back. All right, Preacher Man.
I like clap back. Preacher Man, you got
any? Good list, man.
You guys pretty much covered everything.
All right, we got some good ones on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Swag. Is swag done?
Because nope. You know why? Because it's overplayed. Because it's done.
I don't think it's done.
It's a mid-2000s thing.
I don't think it's done.
What about She's a Fox?
That's done. You got to stop saying that.
That just sounds like Johnny's Hideaway.
It does, doesn't it? She's foxy. Yeah. With the shooters, right?
How about for shizzle? Yeah, that's done.
Anything you put izzle on the end of it, Rick Hamlin.
Hey, we're going to get Liddy next for Shizzle as we talk to Bob Wenzel.
He is amazeball.
He is. We'll ask him if he's got any band words. How about the bomb? Yeah, you can no longer say, man, that team is the bomb.
He's sick.
Yeah, he's Liddy. That's next.
Weekday mornings on the game.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, the Guestapalooza continues here on the Midday Show with Rick and John from the Kia Studios. We're the home of Atlanta United, the Hawks, and our beloved Atlanta Falcons. And right now, it is time for the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. And we welcome in Bob Wenzel. Bob Wenzel is our guy. We had him on last week. The information was rock solid. So we're going to do this again. And I just want to tell you, the resume for Bob Wenzel is a long read. He coached in college basketball as an assistant or head coach from 1971 to 1997. That is a long run, Coach. How you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better, man. Life's good.
All right, Coach, you do a lot of stuff with the Big Ten. Michigan State, I had them pick to win the national championship, so my bracket, although I do the 5-Hour Energy Bracket Challenge, my normal bracket is in the trash. What went wrong with the Spartans?
They can't shoot, man. I mean, interestingly enough, they were a team that shot well during the course of the year, but Jim Boeheim's genius was the story in that game. You know, a lot of times you watch a zone The way Syracuse plays their zone is not standard issue, right? They really flex around. They scout the other team. And for a major part of the game, the vulnerability is in the middle, right? Everybody says that and they think that. Well, what happened is Syracuse invites you to get the ball to the middle because they have such great shot blockers. Those guys block shots or challenge shots, so you're getting the ball there and nothing good is happening. They guarded the perimeter very well, and if Cassius Winston would drive and make a few more plays to guys kind of sneaking in behind the zone, they would have been better off. But they did not shoot well. Syracuse outplayed them. Syracuse one-on-one guys played better. I was in shock, just like you. I thought Michigan would go very deep. Michigan State would go very deep. Miles Bridges looked a little reticent to me, and he's had that issue, I think, for – different parts of the season this year, and Jaren Jackson did absolutely nothing against the Syracuse big guys. He couldn't find holes. He couldn't play against zone. He's better against man. So it was a shocking game to watch, no doubt about it.
Coach, I want to follow up quickly on Jaren Jackson of Michigan State, and I know you have followed the bouncing ball through the Big Ten, non-con, conference, Big Ten tournament. You've seen it all. And you've seen the highs and lows of Jaren Jackson. I think back to that Minnesota game up there at the barn in Minneapolis. He did everything. I mean, he was making threes like Ray Allen and blocking shots and dunking, and he just looked amazing. He looked like a reincarnation of Kevin Garnett. And it seems like Izzo has trusted him less and less and less as the season has gone along because I continue seeing all these other bigs out there and Jackson on the bench. Why is that?
I don't know the interior, if there's something going on there. I think sometimes guys that are in Jackson's position are thinking NBA. He's certainly going to be drafted. He's going to go, I'm sure. Although Bridges surprised everybody last year by not going. I think he has all the skill set, but it's a different stage, man. I mean, it's one thing to be playing within the Big Ten and the games they play. It's another thing you're in the NCAA tournament and all the pressure that goes with that, the pressure of being a team that's highly seeded. You know, it's a young guy. It happens. I mean, it really happens. And I don't know if there's anything within the team that's an issue. But guys have bad games, and I mean, he was a non-factor. And Izzo's a great coach, and he knows what he's doing. So if a guy's having a bad game, sometimes you just play through it, especially if you're not a deep team and you just let the guy go. But if you have other guys that you feel can do a better job, then you insert those players, and they have plenty of depth on the front line. So it was a shocking loss. There's no doubt about that. So the tournament's coming to Atlanta now, right?
Absolutely. We've got a nice set of matchups. I think it'll be Big Blue Country will be here. A lot of them, all the Kentucky fans will be here. And then we've kind of got the underdogs. Do you think anybody in that part of the bracket can knock off Kentucky and stop them from getting to the Final Four?
Yes. The answer is yes. I don't know if they will. Kentucky's the luckiest team in the league, in the tournament, that's for sure. You know, I mean, they play Davidson and barely get by them, and then they have to play Buffalo, which beat Arizona. So instead of playing Kentucky-Arizona, which would have been a marquee game, they're playing Buffalo, and they win that game. And now they got Kansas State. Now, Kansas State is a very solid team. Big 12, you know, they did very well in that league. They went to Allen Fieldhouse, almost beat Kansas by – they lost by two, I think, in that game, came right down to the end. So, you know, that's their next game. But they got the crowd, as you mentioned, in front of them. Now the two – my two favorite teams in the tournament, I don't know if I talked to you guys about this last week, are Loyola and Nevada. And Loyola – I do a lot of Mountain West and Missouri Valley for CBS Sports Network. So I'm watching these games, and now they're playing one another in Atlanta. And my first thought is, man, that is a bummer. You know, I like both of them. I like these kids. But then the good part is one of them's going to win and go to the Elite Eight. So, you know, Kentucky clearly is the team in your city that has the advantage. But you never say never, right? We've seen a lot of crazy things already.
No doubt about it, man. Bob Wenzel, Coach Bob Wenzel, joining us here on the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. It's the Midday Party with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And going back to that, to the Michigan win over Houston, I was in love with that game from the moment the brackets came out, this gritty, hard-nosed Houston team with the stud and Rob Gray and all the good stuff that Michigan has going on. And we see the game winner by pool. A lot of people think Michigan can win it all. But, Bob, I want to set you up like this. Is John Beilein the best coach in college basketball?
I don't know if he's the best coach, but he's in the top few, that's for sure. I mean, as far as X's and O's go and execution and coolness under pressure, I mean, he's at the top of the list in a lot of those areas. What they traditionally have been is a very good offensive team, not only in the half-court set, but in pushing the ball and taking quality shots, very rarely turn the ball over. They do passing drills. I go to their practices. They do passing drills every day. And they are a fun team to watch. The thing that separates this team is that their defense has been very, very solid. Some of the substitute guys who come in, a guy like John Teske comes in and clogs up the middle. Poole, who made the shot, is not a likely guy to make that shot. You know, I mean, he's a good driver of the ball, but he doesn't make many threes, but he's got a winner's attitude, right? So they're a very interesting team, and I think Beilein is he's never been an assistant coach. He's always been a head coach his whole life. So he's used to running things. He's cool under pressure, and now they got a Texas A&M team that is very big. I mean, the two big Davis and Williams inside are very, very tough players, and defensively Michigan is going to have to come up with something to counteract the effectiveness of especially Davis.
Bob, one of the fascinating games that happened late Saturday night, I'm not sure how many people were tuned in at that time, was Gonzaga and Ohio State. Buckeyes make a nice comeback. They take a lead, and then Gonzaga hits a couple of shots. Norvell, who's had a really nice tournament, makes a shot there. Do you think the Zags are a team that can cut down the net and finish what they tried to accomplish a year ago?
I don't think they're as good and talented as they were last year. But that doesn't mean they won't do what you said just now. It's a different year. Sometimes a team is more talented and they go out for some reason. Gonzaga, at the beginning of this tournament, I thought had a great shot to go all the way to get to the Final Four. I didn't think about them in the finals, but just to get to the Final Four. They haven't played great. I mean, UNCG, they sort of stumbled around there a little bit. Ohio State was a team that I think had a higher seed than I think that they really deserved from the standpoint of talent. They had a great year. Chris Holtman, the former Butler coach, is there. He did a wonderful, wonderful job. And Kata Bates Diop was really, really a terrific player. But they didn't have a lot. So I think they haven't been tested as much. And now they benefit from, you know, FSU, Florida State, beat Xavier, so the number one seed. So I think they'll have an easier time with Florida State than they would have had with Xavier. So they're benefiting from some upsets here, too. Tilly's great. Norvell has made the shot to win a game the other day, and he had 28 in the second game. They have solid guards. I think they have a good shot at it.
Yeah, me too. Gonzaga, fun team to watch, too. Athletic and shot-making. We've got Coach Bob Wenzel on the WadeFor.com hotline. This is the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. So, to me, a really potentially thrilling game, and I just think it's going to be juicy, is the late game on Friday night, Texas Tech and Purdue. Texas Tech comes at you in waves. They've got a star guard in Keenan Evans. And you know, we've talked a lot about Purdue and Isaac Haas, and you've got the great point guard in Carson Edwards. But, Coach, in terms of this matchup in Haas, what I saw a headline earlier, Purdue engineers are trying to work on some kind of a brace or some kind of equipment where Isaac Haas, with that broken right elbow, might be able to play in this game. Does that seem likely or realistic to you?
I don't think it's realistic. That was reported, and he didn't play. You know, people said he wants to play. Having him out is a game changer for Purdue. Look, I mean, the guy is 7'1", 290. He is like just muscles on muscles. Now, he has a backup, a kid from the Netherlands named Harms, who's 7'1" also, but thin, but quick, you know, a very versatile player. The two of them combined made them really, really tough on the interior, and they have, as you know, experienced players on the perimeter, you know, in shooting and defensively. So without Haas, I'm not sure what's going to happen in this game. If he plays, the question is, will he be effective at all? You know, with an injury like that, I mean, that's, you know, he's an offensive player. They go to him. So they force teams to double team, then they throw it back out and shoot threes. That's kind of the way they play. Without him, you don't have to guard Harms on a double team very much. So now the perimeter defenders can guard the perimeter much more tightly because they're not coming in to double team on Haas. So I think it changes the game a lot. And you mentioned Evans. He's a pro. And I think that people in the Big 12, some people felt he should have beaten out Devontae Graham of Kansas for the player of the year. So he's the real deal there. What Purdue does defensively on him, I think, is really going to matter the most in the game. Whether they put small guys on him and get right up in him and force him to, you know, try to go one-on-one too much and take bad shots, or they switch Vincent Edwards on him, who's a 6'7" lengthy guy. He could defend out there on the perimeter as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Matt Painter does with his defensive emphasis on Evans.
Bob, we were having a debate around the station after Virginia lost. Was this the biggest upset in the history of sports? We all kind of agreed that Miracle on Ice was a bigger upset. In terms of college basketball, was that the biggest upset in the history of college hoops?
Well, certainly from a metric standpoint, it's the biggest in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, a 16 has never beaten a 1, and it wasn't a buzzer beater, right? I mean, they beat them by 20. So that was a shock. And I think you could probably argue about a lot of different, you know, I have had the experience of doing. I did the Bucknell Kansas game when Bucknell beat Kansas in the NCAA tournament. At the time, I thought that was the biggest one I had seen. This one is, it's right up there. And it's an interesting thing for Virginia because they've had such a great run the last 3 years. Bennett's a great coach. His style's a little different. So he's going to get a lot of criticism about, you know, can they play from behind? And, you know, when you're a team that's plays in the 60s, and if you're a team that doesn't fast break much and you rely on the execution in the half court, when you get behind by six, it's like being behind by 16, right? So, you know, I'm sure he's going to examine that situation and see what he can do with that. But that game was an outlier game. Nobody saw it coming. And I think Virginia players were shocked. And, you know, the coach of UMBC is a coach's son, as you probably know, and probably gotten into that a little bit, Dave Odom's son. It was spectacular. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, it was crazy, man. Coach, we really appreciate the time. We appreciate the information. Coach Bob Wenzel, former Jacksonville and Rutgers head coach. You can see him on Big Ten Network. We really appreciate it, Coach.
Take care. Have a good day, guys.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot. That's Bob Wenzel. Thanks for him to check it in on the 5-Hour Energy Coaches Hotline. If you're low on energy and still have more college hoops to watch, 5-Hour Energy is a slam dunk. Grab a 5-Hour Energy and get back to 100%. Let's give you $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
glue. Glue. G-L-U-E. To win in the NCAA tournament, you normally need a glue guy.
Theo Pinson of North Carolina is a great glue guy.
He's also an eliminated guy, but glue right now to 72881 from your cell phone. Again, text glue to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. We're also going to give you the chance to win $500 coming up at 11:40. Our 5 seconds, 5 questions for $500. When we get back, though, should the NCAA tournament reseed when they get to the Sweet 16? We'll break that down next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
About your mother.
Like this? Yeah, yeah.
That's not how I feel, your mother.
Shut up, fart knocker.
All right, a little Beavis and Butthead bringing us into some college basketball conversation. But first, we want to circle back to our slice of life. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Midday Show with Rick and John, it was words or phrases that are banned for men over 40 years old. So Hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, with more suggestions on that. But I brought fart knocker to the conversation. I figured that we should probably omit that as 40-plusers.
But it's still funny.
It is funny.
Because you don't take it seriously. Shut up, fart knocker. I mean, it's fun. If you go,
dude, I haven't used fart knocker since I was 19.
Those skinny jeans are on fleek. You're trying to. Here's the list we have right now.
Don't make me clap back at you.
Bay, bro, amazeballs, the bomb, crunk, fat with a PH, lit AF, clap back, fleek.
Fleek is so stupid.
Oh, what are we
it
missing?
Really is. I have never said fleek.
Fleek?
I only say on fleek just to mess with you guys and get you to look at me like, TBH. Are you Rick Kamla or have you been body snatched?
Here's some other ones, Mark. TBH. Preggers, turnt, low key.
Isn't fleek like when you have dandruff? Use that ointment on your hair?
I think.
You guys are taking away all Conti's material.
I know. He is not going to be Liddy.
Preggers.
Fly. Psych.
Yeah, psych.
Not. Take a chill pill. Chillax. Like, you
chillax.
Know who,
says, God, chillax.
You know who says chillax? Do you remember Gary Cole's character from Office Space? What was his name? The boss that was always like,
Lumberg.
Yeah,
Lumberg.
Yeah,
Lumberg.
Lumberg would say chillax. Would he not?
Lumberg?
I think that boss actually works down on the fourth floor here. I saw him come in the other day with his suspenders in his coffee cup.
Lumberg.
And I did vaguely hear when the fourth floor opened, yeah, Friday's going to be Hawaiian shirt day. That'll be great. That means on Friday you can wear jeans and a Hawaiian shirt.
I'm going to need you to come in this weekend.
I'm going to tell you.
Kind of work the whole weekend, all right?
I get dress codes if you're in front of people. Like, if you're in front of people and you have to meet with customers, I can understand being dressed a certain way. If you're working in an office where your whole interaction is a computer screen, the other people in your office, and a telephone, You should be able to come to work however the heck you want.
Like me today wearing a Marshall Faulk jersey?
Yes, like me today wearing an Atlanta Falcons t-shirt. Like Mark wearing a Georgia hat with an Atlanta Braves pullover. Like Preacher Man with a Smash hat on. That should be standard operating procedure.
I got no problem with that.
That'd be lit.
The first time that the suits would come to us and say, we need you guys to look fat. We need you guys to look...
We could just wear a medium shirt, and I think we'd all pull off the look.
So hard.
I could actually see Sean coming and saying that. You guys look fat today.
When is he coming back, by the way?
I thought he was supposed to be back yesterday.
Because I want to know the day. It's jersey week for me this week. I'm bored.
Well, tomorrow we're out.
Tired of my clothes. I'm wearing a Tack McKinley jersey tomorrow. But I have a Keyshawn Johnson Jets jersey, old classic jersey.
Why do you have that?
I want to rock. Because this fantasy football league that I'm always talking about, we do an auction. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we like this. We purchased Marshall Faulk in an auction back in the day, and the owner of fanball.com would buy jerseys mm-hmm. for guys in the draft. And so, if you got the right guys, you got a jersey. So it's pretty cool. So, I got a Keyshawn Johnson jersey back in the day.
A couple other ones coming in. How about Cool Beans? Yeah, you should never say Cool Beans.
40 plus omitted.
You shouldn't say that ever. Like, I don't care if you're 20, you shouldn't say Cool Beans.
Agreed.
If you question it, imagine being at the bar with your boys. Mm-hmm. Something big happens. Dude, that home run was Cool Beans, man. Doesn't work.
What about Off the Chain? Is that a banned word now or banned phrase?
It's jumped the shark. Off the Chain
jump the shark
has jumped
should be banned.
The shark.
That's a good way to put it, because some words, you could still use them in some references. Mm-hmm. Like we said, holy cow, because you don't want to cuss. But yeah, that phrase has jumped the shark. And there's also some of these phrases you just... It's done. It was hip for like 2 minutes, and
yeah.
Now it's not.
To me, off the charts. Maybe I'm just old. Off the charts. That's never going to be out of style. It's a cliche.
How about
off the charts?
How about Coolio or Silly Goose?
I actually still say Coolio. Should I omit that? I'm 40
now, are you
plus.
Talking
I'm
about
say
50.
A lot of things that you shouldn't say at your age.
I probably do. Dope, gangster, crunk.
Somebody tweeted me.
Turntabilist, all that stuff.
Somebody
right?
tweeted me and said, you guys have just ruined Rick's entire vocabulary.
No, Charity did last night. Charity said no more dope, gangster, or crunk.
We
YOLO,
we
dead.
We didn't want this to come out. Mm-hmm. This is just an intervention for you, Rick.
I love
we
it.
We apologize, but all right, Charity, come on in, honey.
Hold on.
Your friends and family.
Mark,
are here.
Do I read my letter now? Hold on. Let me read my letter to Rick. Dear Rick, I love you.
Aw, thanks.
Over 2 years of being your radio partner, I have noticed a pattern that is hurting all of us. Your vocabulary is that of a 17-year-old. Dope was dope in 1994. I loved every second of it. Gangster, well, that should now be reserved for people who are actual gangsters, not just people that are playing gangsters on the radio. You have also said, what are some of the other words he said? Hype, crunk, stupid, fat,
bizom,
bay, bizom, for shizzle. If you take this intervention today, I see that our radio show will prosper and last for many years to come. To make you three, comma. If you do not, I am moving to Macon to do NPR.
I know. We are tearing up in here, man. That was heartfelt.
Because we love you, man.
Mark, do you have a letter?
Just worry about it. There's a van waiting for you downstairs. It's just going to take you to Arizona just to get away for a couple of weeks.
Am I going to be able to breathe? Are they going to have to
just
blindfold
clear,
me?
Just clear your head for a little bit. We love you, man.
So, have you noticed that I say the D word and the G word less?
You do.
Have you noticed
a lot less?
I say it less now. And that's for you guys, like, for you knuckleheads.
Mark, or not Mark, Grant was actually going through some of the archives of the tryouts for the midday show. And there was a lot more dope and gangster when you were on with Mark Ryan.
Was there really? Like a high volume of it?
I think so. I think you were just trying to get through the day.
I have no idea. I have
fly
no
white
idea.
Guys right there.
We were going to talk about the tournament.
Little steps. We got him away from saying ding dongs.
Yeah, ding dong.
When it comes to home runs.
You have one ding dong a week.
Little victories.
What now?
You've only said like one ding dong a week. And actually,
it hasn't even been that much.
Yeah, I say you're ding dongless for a while.
I and now what's good? MO's going to be over there working. I'm going to just like taunt him with it just mm-hmm. to see if he's listening. That's how it's going to be during baseball season. But I'm not going to say it very much.
Should we do that tomorrow, Slice of Life?
What's
write
that?
Intervention letters to each other?
No, because we're at the auto show tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's favorite. It's Mount Rushmore cars tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which
Preacher Man won't be a part of because he'll be walking around looking at his Mount Rushmore cars. One last one, and I agree with this. Besties. That's got to be on it.
Didn't you rock a Besties at some point?
I accidentally
said
Besties.
Recently?
It was an accident.
I need a little credit. I have never rocked Besties.
I have never said Besties. My best friend. Hey, this whole
incident. Are we Besties?
We're pretty close.
My man.
Hey, we are. That's why I wrote you an intervention letter.
You mean when John
See,
said this?
Why you don't let anybody borrow your car?
No, but yeah. Like, if you were hanging out and, hey, man, can I run to the store real quick? Yeah, here's my keys. Take my car.
But if you're out of town, hey, dude, take the Silverado.
All you guys in this room, I would trust you with my Kia Sorento.
I'll be honest, I'm not. I'm not giving you guys my car. I'm just not. I think there's maybe 5 people on the planet I'd give my car to when I'm out of town. My wife, my mother, Carnell, Jamal, and Rashawn. That's it. And those are like my 3 besties. I said besties. Oh
yeah, right there. For the win. Right there.
See, the creative
right
editing from Mark Owens.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Uh-oh. That was pretty much live. That was clean. That was the clean feed, as we say in TV.
That was probably one of the cleanest cuts ever.
Yeah.
The man is creative beyond all reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
The cool thing is Carnell sends him a text, goes, dude, we besties, dog.
He actually unfriended me on Facebook after I said
He gave him one of those necklaces that breaks in half. It says BFF. BF is on one side of the heart. The F's on the other side.
Can we also ban this if we're doing banned words? Like, if you unfollow somebody on Twitter and you actually announce that you're unfollowing them, you look like a tool. Hey, I'm unfollowing you. Okay, you're an idiot. We don't care.
I almost blocked a guy the other day, and I was like, why would I block this guy? Nah, keep the hate coming, dude. It makes me laugh.
Oh, I block him because I can get angry.
Coming.
And after the whole social media training that we've had to go through, I just think it's easier for me to not interact with people that are being buttheads on Twitter. It's the way I do it. It's not that I dislike you. I hope that you listen. I hope that you love us. But when you and it's not, I've never had anybody announce they're unfollowing me, but I'll see them like, I'm no longer following Dan Le Batard. He's an idiot. Does Dan care? Not really.
I had a guy over the weekend, I forget what he called me out on, but he said that he was no longer listening to 82.9.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I thought that was pretty
funny. Was that the entire Purdue school?
It was just a guy on the Purdue chain. Yeah, I took a shot at Purdue.
We are big around Purdue. We're big around the Purdue campus. A lot of people listen online at 92.9thegame.com. Not 82.9 the boiler. I think that's what he was listening to.
92.9's pretty good, man. They're fleek.
I think y'all are going down.
Is there even
Tech?
Doesn't it only go down to like 88 something? There's not, or an 87. I know there's not an 82 on the dial.
If there is, it's like an NPR type show. Some of my
those are like my 3 besties
work there. So.
Really?
Are we your 3 besties? Okay. Anyway, so who came up with this cracked whack idea to reseed the NCAA tournament?
Here's
an
article.
Are you that bored? How are you bored right now? The Sweet 16 is in 2 days. We just came off. Ian Eagle told us earlier in the show, that was officially the nuttiest opening weekend in NCAA tournament history. So how are you so bored that you're coming up with an idea to reseed the NCAA tournament?
Well, the guy's name is Myron Medcalf. He's a staff writer for ESPN. It's a thought-provoking article. I think reseeding the tournament would be absolutely idiotic. Because the whole point of us doing a bracket is we put our bracket together, you write it down, boom, and you go from there. Do you want to go back at 16 and go, all right, now you got to go back and remake your picks based on who's there? How fair would that be to Loyola Chicago? I think, are they the lowest seed left at 11?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. How fair would it be to Loyola Chicago, who's upset a 6 and a 3, to now, instead of being able to play, and they play Nevada, who's a 7.
Nevada, yeah.
Instead of playing a 7 seed who ultimately had some upsets, their reward would now be, hey, you get to go play Villanova.
Yeah,
that's crap.
It is. But the thing is, to John's point, that's the tough thing about filling out a bracket, okay? You fill it out not even knowing who has won the first 4 games, or maybe you wait till Thursday and you know that Syracuse beat ASU, but you have to track the whole thing going forward without knowing the result. And that's why it stings so much when you get a Mercer beating Jabari Parker and Duke. That's why it stings so much
Jabari
when you
Parker
get...
Jabari Parker was on that team?
Yes.
Wow.
I love Jabari Parker. I'm going to the Final Four. I'm watching. And everybody's excited because Mercer's a Georgia team. And I'm like, screw Mercer. Sorry. I mean, I'm not bummed about it anymore. But Duke winning it all, that your bracket busted. And that was like the first game of the tournament. I don't know if you remember that,
John. Oh, yeah.
It's like the early game on Thursday. There it is. Bracket ruined. First game. So I was a little butthurt about that.
What was the dance the kid from Mercer did? They went bananas and did. Was it the whip and the nene? Was that when that had first come out?
I think so.
I don't remember. I know he was dancing and going crazy, and that was like all the rave the rest of the tournament was that dance for Mercer knocking off Duke. So, that's why we love the tournament.
But you can't reseed because we've made all of our predictions, prognostications, and picks based on the bracket,
right?
Okay? Purdue eventually plays Nova.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say all of a sudden, no, we're putting Michigan in a bracket with Villanova. No, it doesn't work that way.
One of the things that
stop
people,
trying to change everything, everybody. Jeff Van Gundy.
One of the things that people love is the fact that you get that piece of paper and you hold on to that bracket as currently constructed for the rest of the time. We take a break. We come back. 5 questions, 5 seconds, $500. You heard how it worked. Call now, 404-741-0929. Virtually hug the preacher man, and we'll see if we can give away $500 next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we're back on the Midday Show with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the college football cheat sheet brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up, another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. It says here, 5 questions, 5 seconds for $500.
Yep.
And we have a Falcons legend in the Kia studios.
We do.
We'd be remiss if we didn't welcome our buddy, Harry Douglas, to Sports Radio 92.9. The Game, a Tennessee Titan the last 3 years. And Harry's getting plugged in here. We're going to spend about the next hour and a half with my man, Harry Douglas. Harry, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here with my guys, John Adon, Ricky Dickey, a.k.a. Cough Drop Man.
Now, he didn't try to hip check you like Grayson Allen, did he?
Listen, here we go with this again, all right? We're not going there, okay, with the Grayson Allen.
Oh, we're going there, but just a little bit later.
Grayson Allen is my favorite basketball player besides my brother.
Stop it.
And we're not going to go there today, Rick, okay?
Stop
I'm going to let you know right now.
Well, what we're going to do right now, we've got this contest that a great sponsor has cooked up. We do 5 questions in 5 seconds for $500. So a caller's going to come on the air. I'll ask them the question. They have 5 seconds to answer each one. It only took us like 12 callers yesterday to give away $500. So we're going to do this now,
but it
Harry.
It was fun. It was great.
It's fun.
I was listening
it was
yesterday.
Fun.
I was texting Preacher Man some of the answers.
We cannot. You cannot give the guys the answers. The
okay.
only thing we ask. We
you
can't.
Tell me hopefully, I know all of them.
Harry, was it too hard yesterday?
No, yesterday was easy.
Right.
I don't understand what was going on yesterday.
Well, let's go right now. Caller number 5 is on board. All right, caller, you ready? You know how this works. We're going to ask you a question. You've got 5 seconds to answer it. If you get all 5 right, you will win $500. You good?
Let's do it.
All right, question number 1. Who is the Michigan State head basketball coach?
Tom Izzo.
That is correct. All right, number 2. And if you were listening to the show last week, you'll know this answer. Only 3 individuals have won an NCAA championship as a player and a coach. Name one of them.
Larry Powers. Powers.
That is incorrect.
Who?
Did he say Kenny Powers?
I thought he said Larry Towers.
I'm not sure who that is.
I don't know.
Anyway, that was not the correct answer.
Thanks for playing.
All right, let's move on to caller number 6. Caller number 6, you know the way that this thing works. Are you ready for 5 questions in 5 seconds for $500?
I'm ready.
All right, question number 1. Who is the Michigan State basketball coach?
The same one that
Van
just did.
That is classic, dude. I love you already.
All right. Move on, number 2. Oh, did you say?
He's got to say the answer.
Oh, you got to say the name.
The name. Jonathan Babineau.
That is. Did he say Jonathan Babineau?
He did. He's playing us. We're getting played
as
right
he
now.
Drank the wine cooler he has right now in his hand.
I think he was at straight Cisco at that point.
My goodness.
That was not.
Come on, man.
All right, let's go to caller number 7. See if you can do better. Caller number 7, you ready to win $500?
I'm ready to win, guys.
By the way, a correct answer is not what the other guy said.
Yeah. All right. Question number 1. Who's the Michigan State head basketball coach?
Tom Izzo.
All right. Number 2. Only 3 individuals have won an NCAA championship as a player and a coach. Name one.
Bobby Knight.
Yes.
All right. Let's go. We are moving along. If you listened last week, you would have this one. Which tournament team did not pick up their first win of the season until 2018?
UTMB.
Nope. They had a big win, but they won before the calendar year of 2018. All right, let's move on to caller number 8. Caller number 8, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right. Question 1. Who's the Michigan State head basketball coach?
Tom Izzo.
Number two, only three individuals have won an NCAA championship as a player and a coach. Name one.
Bobby Knight.
Number three, which tournament team did not pick up their first win until the calendar year of 2018?
Three, two, one. This question's too hard. We're going to be stuck on this until we hand off to Dukes and Bell.
Do your homework.
We said this one last week.
All of these answers are on our iTunes page, Thursday show.
Do people like doing homework?
For $500?
Here's the thing. If you're Googling right now and you're one of the guys that are on hold, you should be able to get that one. Let's see if caller number nine has done some Googling. Yeah. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, who's the Michigan State head basketball coach?
Tom Izzo.
Only three individuals won an NCAA championship as a player and a coach. Name one.
Bobby Knight.
There we go. Question three, which tournament team did not pick up their first win of the season until 2018?
Five.
You went
four. Three, two.
Aloya?
No, it isn't.
And you had the Kumo D voice. Come on, man. Why so serious? Jesus.
That would have been Loyola.
Nobody's getting this question.
You don't think so?
Not a single person is going
to
get
you
this question.
You got it because you listened to me last week.
I'm paid to listen. These people aren't paid to listen. Well, they're listening for enjoyment.
We don't ask
a lot of our listeners, but we need you to listen every minute of every day and take notes.
And get a meter.
I've been asking my children to pee accurately in the toilet for a combined 26 years, and they still don't do it.
Offer them $500.
I can relate to that because I have a daughter that's in potty train mode right now, and I can relate to that.
And they just miss. They miss all the time.
All right, let's move on to caller number 10. All right, caller 10, you ready to roll?
Ready to go.
All right, who is the Michigan State head basketball coach?
Izzo.
All right, only three individuals won an NCAA championship as a player and a coach. Name one.
Bobby Knight.
All right. Which tournament team did not pick up their first win of the season until 2018?
Texas Southern.
Yes!
Way
you listen.
To go.
There you go.
I listen.
We love it. Now, these two actually are a lot easier. Wichita State is the home of the Fighting what?
Shockers.
One more to go.
One more to go, and this is a pop culture question. Alicia Keys, the beautiful and talented Alicia Keys, is a judge on this NBC singing competition show.
The Voice.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we have a winner.
Oh, thank God.
What's your name, sir?
Tyler.
Tyler. I have a question. You say you listen. Are you married?
Yes.
Do you listen to your wife?
Yes.
All the time?
All the time.
Give him his $500.
Yes. Tyler, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations. You can
talk to
the preacher man. He's shirtless and oiled up right now, so have that as your vision, as you will get $500. You didn't think anybody would get Texas Southern.
Did not.
You need to have more faith in your listeners, Rick.
I did not.
Well, I need him to get control of his household, first of all. See, he listens all the time. Jesus Christ. The guy who just won.
My wife listens all the time.
I do want to give you some clarification. The three individuals that won an NCAA championship as a player and a coach, we would have accepted Joe B. Hall at Kentucky, Bob Knight as a player with Ohio State and the coach of Indiana, and Dean Smith as a player at Kansas coach at North Carolina.
Again, that's something we talked about last week. Again, thank you. Our college football cheat sheet normally this time of the day. It's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. What are we talking about next? Oh, we're talking some free agency. What's left in free agency? We're going to talk about what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, Harry, we would love to have you back here playing wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.